Support for the Closing Market Report podcast comes from ADM. Their FarmerView mobile site features up-to-date futures, weather, market commentary, and local bids, and offers customers access to contracts, deliveries, and payments at adm.com/farmerview.
From the Land Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the Closing Market Report. It is the sixth day of August 2013. I'm Todd Gleason. Coming up in this half hour, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Wayne Nelson at L&M Commodities. He's in Newmarket, Indiana. Take up the agricultural energies with Harry Cooney from GrowMark out of Bloomington, Illinois, and discuss the weather forecast with Don Day of Day Weather from Cheyenne, Wyoming. Along the way, we'll hear from the state statisticians getting an update on conditions in their regions, and a news story from U.S. EPA. It has announced some steps to address concerns about the E10 blend wall, and it all happens during this Tuesday edition of the Closing Market Report, a production of Illinois Public Media from the University of Illinois.
Support for agricultural programs comes from AgriGold Hybrids, featuring the AgriGold Giants, a group of five new hybrids designed to meet the performance standards of yield, health, and consistency required by Midwestern corn growers. More information is at AgriGoldGiants.com or at 800-262-7333.
Well, checking the numbers now in Chicago as they finished up for Tuesday afternoon. The soft red winter wheat was up 5.25 cents at $6.50 and a half on its settlement price for the day. December at $6.62 and three quarters, up a nickel, and the March at $6.73 and a half, 5.5 cents higher. The hard red in Kansas City finished the December at $7.12 and a quarter. That was up 5 cents as well. September corn futures, $4.72 and a quarter, up three. December down a penny and a quarter at $4.59 and a quarter for the new crop harvest month. The March contract in the corn at $4.72 and a half, down one. And May futures there at $4.80 and a quarter, settlement price 3 quarters lower. July contract at $4.86, down 1 1/4. And September corn at $4.89 and three quarters for next year, 0.75 cents lower. December of 2014 at $4.94 and a half, a settlement price 0.25 cents higher. August soybeans at $13.24 and a quarter, down 5.5 cents for the day. September 14 lower at $11.93 and a half, and new crop November down 16 cents, settled at $11.67 and a quarter. January futures $11.74, down 16, and the March contract at $11.79 and a quarter, 15.5 lower. May contract in the bean pit down 15 cents at $11.80 and three quarters of a cent. Bean meal futures at $3.96. We're down $6.60, and the bean oil for the day at $42.11, 61 cents lower. Live cattle futures finished the October at $124.67 and a half for 100 pounds, up 12 and a half cents. September feeders at $157.65, we're up 65, and October lean hogs at $86.45, 95 cents higher. This is Illinois Public Media. Here's what the outside markets look like at this hour. Crude oil futures for the day at $104.86 a barrel, down $1.04. The RBOB, or wholesale price of gasoline, $2.91 and 6 cents of a cent, 3 4 cents of a cent lower. And ethanol futures at $2.19 and 6 cents. That's a penny and 7 cents higher for the day. The spread between those two is now 72 cents. It's 5 1/10 of a cent narrower than it was yesterday afternoon. Natural gas at $3.31 and 6 cents of a cent, 3 tenths of a cent lower, and diesel fuel at $3.07 of a cent, down 4 4/10 of a cent. Gold futures finished the day at $1,282.50 a troy ounce, down $19.60, and the U.S. dollar at 81.6. That's down 0.27 on the afternoon. Here's what the weather forecast looks like for the Urbana-Champaign area as it comes from the National Weather Service for this afternoon. A 20% chance of showers and thunderstorms. Those will come after 4 o'clock Central Time today. Partly sunny otherwise, a high near 84 degrees for the afternoon. And then tonight, showers and thunderstorms likely. And most of those should come after 1 a.m. in the morning. Mostly cloudy, a low of 70 degrees. South winds at 6 to 8 miles an hour. Chance of rainfall set at 60%. Wednesday, a 50% chance of showers and thunderstorms. Mostly cloudy and a high of 85 degrees. On a south-southwest wind at about 7 miles an hour. And Wednesday evening, mostly cloudy and a low of 66. Light and variable winds out of the northeast at 5 to 8 miles an hour. On Thursday, a 40% chance of showers and thunderstorms, mostly cloudy, and a high of 79. That rainfall continues into Thursday night with a 66-degree low. Friday, a 30% chance of rainfall, partly sunny and 81. Friday evening, 63 and partly cloudy. And Saturday, sunny skies and 80 degrees. More on the weather forecast when we get to the bottom of the half hour right here on WILL from Illinois Public Media.
Todd Gleason services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Agricultural market reports on WILL are made possible with support from Busey. Small business is the next big business. So Busey offers solutions to fit growing business needs, from customizable lending options to succession planning. Busey, your dream, our promise.
Well, it is a Tuesday afternoon, and it's the 6th day of August, 2013. I'm U of I Extension's Todd Gleason. On the phone line with us, as usual for a Tuesday, Wayne Nelson of L&M Commodities in New Market, Indiana. Good afternoon to you, Wayne.
Well, good afternoon, Todd.
Did you have a good day there in New Market?
Oh, another beautiful day. You know, the crops are growing fast, and we're maturing along as it goes great. So it's a wonderful day here.
That's a wonderful day, and it's always good to know you can always look out and say, hey, the price of grain is lower, but I may have more in the field. I suspect that's what farmers are having to say to themselves more often than not these days.
They better think that, because they're not thinking the prices are getting better for the near term, I don't think. Mm-hmm. So, you know, we've taken quite a bit out of these markets over the last 10 days, and we continued to take 14, 16 cents out of the beans today. So just a little bit better, a little bit of shot of rain in Iowa, and a chance of rain across here, as you were just saying.
Yeah, tell me more about the reasons that the beans were off today. There must have been something else happening to drop it another 14 cents. Is it just the weather forecast or something else?
Well, I think, you know, there's a multitude of things going on out here. You know, as we look here, we're still at a 2.54 ratio between corn and beans. We've seen the corn take off a higher percentage of its value here as we've come down faster. And I think we've had a lot of spreading against sell corn by beans, sell wheat by beans along the way. And I think there was a little bit unwinding to those spreads here today along with that. Also, you know, we had that China has started in with their selling some of their reserves along the way, too. So that all put together was a little bit heavy on the beans today.
Yesterday afternoon, Informa came out with its numbers. Looking forward to next week's crop production, the August report. That'll be the first one USDA does an actual survey. They've been doing that. What do you think they'll find? And how did Informa's numbers compare to others that you've heard about?
Well, I think everybody was just a little bit surprised. Informa tends to be a little bit on the high side of production. A lot of times they actually cut their corn number by a couple bushels. They were 158 instead of the 160 like Doan and R.J. O'Brien and a few of those have been running. You know, so that was a little bit surprising, but it was along the way still a 14 billion bushel corn crop. We saw Allendale's numbers today, and they're saying a 13.88. So they're a little bit more on the bullish side.
Yeah, but we still end up with, what, a 1.8 or a 1.8 or a 2 billion bushel carryout one way or the other, right?
Pretty much, unless we see some disastrous hail or some really bad weather come in between here, why we're going to have a very big carryout for next year.
It would have to be a really disastrous hail.
Yeah.
Midwest-wide.
That's right.
That would be a big one. Hey, so when you look at this then, what do you tell producers who already have crop have their crop insurance in place, and now they're looking at a lower price below their crop insurance price? They're thinking, well, I just wait this out, or is there a way to protect themselves a bit more? Are you protecting downside still? Are you waiting for a bounce? What do you do?
Well, I think in here, with the report coming up, well, we probably want to wait and see the report before we get really active. We can always sell some calls above the market, and if it goes on up, that's a great thing. And if not, we collect the premium from them. Some of the guys that did have some puts in place have been rolling down, collecting a lot of premium, but still leaving something underneath the market and helping pay for those. The other guys are using some straddles. We haven't done a lot of that yet, but we hear it talked about a lot.
When you talk to your office in the southern states, what do they tell you about the condition of the crop and whether it's catching up in terms of the harvest date or not?
Well, of course, if we go in the deeper south, the Louisiana and Georgia's started in the corn harvest and like that. But in the Arkansas area and like that, I think that they are starting to catch up a little bit, and they are feeling pretty good about their crop. And as they look out there, they are seeing a fairly, a real good crop, I think, it's better than it has been for the last few years for them.
And so the reason I ask is we've been talking for some time about being 3 weeks behind and this gap area. And then, of course, if we're here 3 weeks behind, we're talking about maybe October 1 to October, I don't know, 7, 8, 15, something like that.
The frost period.
Yeah, and the frost period. But if the corn crop really can catch up, and maybe I should check with Emerson Nafziger to see what he thinks about this. Rather than 3 weeks behind, maybe it's really only 1 week behind by the time we get to harvest. And that makes the play at the end of the old crop entirely different because you don't have nearly as much time that you have to fill the gap, I guess.
Well, that, and of course, we had, 9 ethanol plants in Nebraska
right.
Shut down because of lack of corn and for maintenance. We're seeing... some feed wheat being shipped into certain areas and things going along the way that way. And I think maybe the farmers had a little bit more corn than some of them wanted to admit because there's still a few people whining about the price that they didn't get for their corn.
So the closer we get to the end, the more likely it is we're going to make it to the end, I guess, huh?
Yeah, I think that we'll get there. There might be a few ethanol plants that don't run at full blast right towards the end or beginning of harvest, but I think we're going to make it, like I say, with some substitutes with wheat for some of the corn, for some of the feeders and things like that.
Anything, speaking of feeders, that we ought to add on the livestock before I let you go?
Hey, we're starting to see a little good activity over in the livestock, and it's about time for those guys that worked hard over there to start making a little money too.
Thanks so much.
Thanks, Todd.
That's Wayne Nelson. He's with L&M Commodities out of Newmarket, Indiana. Joins us here on the Closing Market Report for this Tuesday afternoon.
Support comes from Stuart Peterson, since 1985 offering strategic commodity consulting and marketing services to help producers manage market opportunities and risks. Stuart Peterson develops strategies customized to each client's goals and operation size. More information at stuart-peterson.com.
Well, if you haven't visited our website recently, please do so. The address there is willag.org. That's willag.org. There you'll find all of our agricultural programming. If you can't get to the web, can't pick it up off your mobile phone on the web, then just dial this number, 217-333-3434. That's 217-333-3434. It's just voicemail. We update it at 10:15 and 3:15 each and every business day with some numbers and a bit of analysis. All part of the service that comes to you from willag.org. Just one quick and very important news story for the day. EPA has finalized the 2013 renewable fuel standards as part of the ongoing effort to enhance energy security and reduce carbon pollution. The U.S. Environmental Protection Agency today says it finalized the 2013 percentage standards for 4 fuel categories that are part of the renewable fuel standard program established by Congress. Most of these fuels, it says, are produced by American farmers and growers domestically and help reduce the carbon pollution that contributes to climate change. The final 2013 overall volumes and standards require 16.55 billion gallons of renewable fuels to be blended into the U.S. fuel supply. That's a 9.74% blend. The standard specifically requires biomass-based diesel at 1.28 billion gallons, advanced biofuels at 2.75 billion gallons, and cellulosic biofuels at 6 million gallons. These standards reflect EPA's updated production projections, which are informed by extensive engagement with the industry and through assessment of the biofuels market, according to the United States Environmental Protection Agency. During the rulemaking, EPA says it received comments from a number of stakeholders, by the way, concerning the E10 blend wall projected to occur in 2014. The E10 blend wall refers to the difficulty in incorporating ethanol into the fuel supply at volumes exceeding those achieved by the sale of nearly all gasoline as E10. Most gasoline sold in the U.S. today is E10. In the rule issued today, EPA is announcing it will propose to use flexibilities in the RFS statute to reduce both the advanced biofuel and total renewable volumes in the forthcoming 2014 RFS volume requirement proposal. However, it did not detail what those flexibilities might be. Let's move from the RFS to the crop progress report released yesterday afternoon by the United States Department of Agriculture. It showed that nationwide, 86% of the corn crop is silked. That's just 3 percentage points behind the rolling 5-year average. 18% of the crop is now in the dough stage, compared to 31% on the rolling 5-year average. And the condition of the crop remains pretty good, 25% in fair, 46% in good, and 18% in the excellent category. Those were 26, 46, and 17 last week. 79% of the soybeans are blooming at this time, and that's normally 85%. And setting pods has been set at 39%. The rolling 5-year average is 51%. The condition of the soybean crop is 51% good, 13% excellent. That's 1 percentage point better than it was last week. Now, here are the state statisticians with updates from their regions.
This is Greg Tayson, state statistician for USDA's National Agricultural Statistics Service Iowa Field Office, with the weekly crops and weather report for the week ending August 4, 2013. Most of the state saw below average rainfall during the week, with an average precipitation of 0.3 inches, about 1/3 of normal for the week. As a result, topsoil moisture ratings in the adequate to surplus categories decreased by 8 percentage points from last week to 41%, while subsoil moisture rated 54% adequate to surplus, a decline of 6 points. The mild weather during the week kept moisture conditions from declining to a greater extent, as temperatures were below average every day of the week, and for the week as a whole, averaged 5.3 degrees below normal. Overall, the condition of the corn and soybeans declined slightly from last week, with 51% of the corn and 52% of the soybean crops now rated in good to excellent condition. Development of the corn and soybean crops continued to progress 1 to 2 weeks behind normal, with 88% of the corn crop tasseled, 72% of the crop silked, and 19% of the crop in the milk stage, with some of the earliest planted corn entering the dough stage. Meanwhile, 79% of the soybean crop has begun blooming, and 35% of the crop was setting pods. This is Greg Tayson reporting from the USDA NAS Iowa Field Office.
This is Mark Schleusener, state statistician for Illinois, with the USDA's National Agricultural Statistics Service. Temperatures were well below average last week, and rainfall was near normal in most locations. In general, crop progress remains behind the 5-year averages, but the gap is closing for some crops. For corn, 95% of the crop is tasseling, the same as the 5-year average. 30% of corn acres are in the dough stage, compared to 78% 1 year ago and 49% normally. Only 1% of the crop has reached the dense stage, compared to 13% normally. The condition of the corn crop is rated slightly better than last week. 6% of corn acres are in very poor or poor condition. 22% are in fair condition, and 72% of corn acres are in good or excellent condition. For soybeans, 81% of acres are blooming, compared to 97% last year at this time, and 84% for the 5-year average. 39% of soybean acres are setting pods, compared to 79% last year and 50% normally. The condition of the soybean crop is also slightly better than last week. 6% of acres are in very poor or poor condition. 20% are in fair condition, and 74% of soybean acres are in good or excellent condition. This has been Mark Schleusener with the Illinois Field Office of the USDA's National Agricultural Statistics Service in Springfield.
Hello, this is Andy Higgins with the Indiana Field Office of USDA NAS. Total precipitation from Monday, July 29th through Sunday, August 4th ranged from just 207 inches at Spencer to 4.1 inches at Fort Wayne. Temperatures ranged from 5 to 9 degrees below normal, with the coolest temperature of 45 degrees recorded at Wanata and the warmest temperature of 87 at Evansville. The moderate temperatures and fairly widespread rain showers during the week were beneficial to field crops and pastures. Aero fungicide applications continued to be made on some cornfields around the state, and 93% of the corn acreage has silked, compared with 98% last year and 90% for the 5-year average, and 13% of the corn acreage is now in the dough stage. Corn condition is rated 76% good to excellent, compared with just 7% last year at this time. 84% of the soybean acreage is blooming now, and about 55% of the soybean acreage is setting pods, compared to 64% last year and 41% for the 5-year average. Soybean condition is rated 76% good to excellent, compared to 15% last year. Sprayers were active during the week as weeds continue to be a problem in some soybean fields. And finally, the watermelon crop was being harvested in the southwestern district, with some quality issues being mentioned. This is Andy Higgins reporting.
Our thanks to the state statisticians for their weekly crop progress updates. We air them each and every Tuesday right here on the Closing Market Report.
Support for WILL comes from Bates Commodities, AgriGold, The Andersons, Wisconsin Plastic Drain and Tile, Strategic Farm Marketing, and Farm Credit Services. Thanks to these businesses for their support of WILL agricultural programs.
Of course, you're listening to the Closing Market Report. It does come to you from Illinois Public Media. You can always find us online at WILLAG.org. It's a Tuesday afternoon. Let's check the agricultural energy markets as we do usually once a month. Harry Cooney joins us from his offices at GrowMark in Bloomington. Good afternoon to you, Harry. How are you?
Hey, good afternoon, Todd. Doing great. Beautiful summer afternoon.
Yeah, it's a great summer afternoon, and I guess the marketplace, at least for crude oil, has been in rally mode. Tell me about it.
It has. We've seen the market continue to rally here in the past couple of months. For quite some time, we were in a range from about 85 on the bottom up to about 95 or 100 on the top. Then in early July, right around the 4th of July there, the fireworks took off, and not just at the fireworks shows. The crude oil rallied through 100, went all the way up to 100, about 109 there in July. Here in the past week or two, it did back off to about 103, and today trading around 106. But definitely it took out some chart points that would suggest there's the potential to move even higher. The next important level in crude would be up around the $110 level, and that would be, I believe it was like last year's high of price. So if we can take out and rally more, $110 will be important, and we'll have to see if we can get up there or not.
We've been much higher, so it's not something we haven't done before, or at least the crude oil market has not done before. But it hadn't been done very often, and it was really under tight supplies, I think, and some circumstances that were pretty tough in the Middle East. Is there a good reason for it fundamentally to move that high?
Well, they talk about how weak demand is, but when you think about the world oil demand, each year it continues to march to new highs in the world. And that's not on any one single country, but overall world oil demand continues to make new highs each year. So there is an appetite for oil. And then when you threw in some Middle East situations there, of course, we started with a little bit on Syria. And now over the weekend even, they threw in a little bit of nervousness to the oil traders when they started talking about shutting down some of these embassies. That can be a two-edged sword. On one hand, it adds instability in the Middle East, which can be bullish to price. But on the other hand, though, they also issued a travel warning around the world. I don't think there's many travelers not continuing on their trips. But if that would continue out into time, you could see where it could start to restrict travel a little bit. And it actually could be a little bearish to the market. So there's a little bit of bullish, a little bit of bearish in there. And that's why the markets are kind of treading water this week after those announcements over the weekend.
And very quickly, farmers will be looking towards their fall harvest and needing to lock in some needs maybe. What should they do?
Well, in the first place, their first line of defense should be to take and be sure they have their inventories filled up. Make sure they have their diesel inventories filled, and then talk to their local FS member cooperatives about the programs they have for contracting.
Okay. Hey, thanks so much.
Thank you, Todd.
That's Harry Cooney. He's with GrowMark out of Bloomington, Illinois. He joins us here on the Closing Market Report for this Tuesday afternoon. Back in just a couple minutes, we'll talk about the agricultural weather forecast. Don Day of Day Weather out of Cheyenne, Wyoming will join us.
It's National Root Beer Float Day. By the way, commercial root beer was developed by Charles Elmer Hyers in 1866. His choice of a name for his root tea powder drink was not without controversy. The word beer drew the wrath of the temperance movement. Hires was quick to respond. He sent samples to a lab which concluded that root beer contained less alcohol than bread. On this day in agricultural history in 1838, George Simmons was born. A British meteorologist, he posed higher standards of accuracy and uniformity on meteorological measurements, and he was responsible for the United Kingdom increasing the number of reporting stations from 350 to 3,500. In 1911, Lucille Ball was born on a farm in Jamestown, New York. Later, her husband, Desi Arnaz, became owner of a horse farm. By the way, one episode of I Love Lucy had the redhead deciding to earn some extra spending money by going into the chicken farming business. And in 1954, David Fairchild died, an American botanist and agriculturalist. He was responsible for introducing over 20,000 exotic plants and varieties of established crops into the U.S., including soybeans, mangoes, alfalfa, and flowering cherries. In 1896, he set up a small plant introduction garden on a six-acre plot near Miami, Florida. Fairchild also managed the Foreign Seed and Plant Introduction Program for USDA for more than two decades. And that's this day in agricultural history.
Agricultural programming is made possible by Farm Credit Services of Illinois. For over 96 years, generations of farmers have turned to Farm Credit for their financial needs. Whether a young farmer or a seasoned grower, Farm Credit offers products and service geared specifically to the agricultural community.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report. It's a Tuesday afternoon. Don Day of Day Weather from Cheyenne, Wyoming is here to discuss the weather forecast. Yesterday afternoon, Don, the state statisticians sent me their updates. We ran those not too long ago. And the guy from Iowa says that the corn crop is catching up, relatively speaking. Planted 3 weeks late, but maybe only 1 to 2 weeks late at this time. That goes kind of counter to the degree day, I think, accumulations that have been piling up. But corn can still manage to make that up. What do you see for them in the next, 2 weeks or so?
Well, not a lot of catch-up. Certainly, there's not going to be a period of a long spell of warm weather in that part of the nation anytime soon. Temperatures are still going to average below normal over Iowa, and especially eastern Nebraska, eastern Kansas, Missouri. And we're also going to see the cooler-than-normal temperatures spread into probably Illinois, Indiana, and Ohio. But the core of the coolest temperatures actually look to be over that Iowa area. So we're not going to be gaining any bonus growing degree days here, at least for the next couple of weeks.
How cool of a period are we talking about?
Well, we're talking about temperature readings on the average that are going to be anywhere from 3 to as much as 8 to 10 degrees below normal. And that's enough to add up over time. And right now, the way the pattern is situated, through the middle of August, we expect this pattern to hold.
If they get rainfall, they'll be okay, but that may not be in the offing, I think, too.
Well, they'll have some. What we're going to see is that the most favored area of rainfall is going to go across Nebraska, Kansas, Missouri. But also we do see Iowa drier, but having some opportunity. The southern areas that I just mentioned, Kansas, Nebraska, Missouri, southern Illinois, southern Indiana, will be the most moist.
And if you get into the further east belt, eastern corn belt, Indiana, which you mentioned, and then Ohio, maybe down into Tennessee.
Yeah, those areas, the southern parts of Indiana, Ohio, have the best chances of rain over the next week. Tennessee, Kentucky, those areas look actually quite wet.
And they'll be moving close, I think, to harvest time by the time we get to the end of the month, although they're 3 weeks behind the further you go north is, or further you go south as well. You said rainfall enough to slow things down?
I think so. Yeah, I think there could be quite significant rains, especially in that Tennessee area.
Okay, turn your attention to other parts of the planet. The other large corn crop is being grown now in China. It's the second largest on the planet, though it's about half the size of what the U.S. normally would raise. I haven't checked that lately. It may be, if we raise a 14 billion crop, it may not be half the size, but how's their crop doing?
Well, they've been a little bit dry, and that trend is going to continue. So I think we've got some dry stress in many areas of China's growing areas. Although soil moisture carried over from spring is actually not bad, but at least in terms of new rainfall, it could be pretty skimpy in China.
Hey, thanks so much for taking the time with us.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. That is Don Day. He's with Day Weather. Out of Cheyenne, Wyoming, joins us here on the closing market report for this Tuesday afternoon. You have a great day. I'm Todd Gleason.
Support for WILL comes from Stuart Peterson, Pioneer Seeds, Standard Grain, Cornerstone Building Products, and Risk Management Commodities. Thanks to these businesses for their support of WILL agricultural programs.